Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended.
This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, is the voice of the former president of the United States and the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party in the 2024 election, releasing a video explaining his position on life. Why? Because it is going to be the issue of the 2024 election. It appears people do not care about the economy, stupid, as much as they care about the ability to separate the procreative act with procreative consequence. That is precisely what the feminists have been up to now for decades. If we are going to allow women to be liberated from the home, then we need to get rid of this institution and this cultural, generally accepted understanding that if you do that act, there's going to be a consequence. Therefore, it should be done in the context of one man and one woman. Got to get rid of all of that. So we need to make intimacy something that is a non-moral issue. And they have been wildly successful. And women who, not all who are just single, because it's a lot of women that are also married, even women who profess to be Christians, they want the freedom to be frisky without any potential of having to be responsible for it. And so they are going to vote for the one that they think protects that, air quotes, right. That is why this issue, it is on the ballot, bigly. And that is really what a lot of inside commentators say was the reason that Donald Trump has staked this, well, to be charitable, a nuanced pro-life position. But really, is there such a thing? If we swapped out the issue, let's make it something I think we all grasp and except as being atrocious, you would say, whoa, there's no nuance to that. What issue am I thinking of? Rape. Look, there are some people who just, they want rape to happen all the time. I think we should just have it sometimes. You'd go, whoa, dude. That isn't pro-woman. That isn't pro-morality. You can't be nuanced on an issue like that. Ditto. And that brings us back to the president, who recognizes that politically, to be staunchly pro-life, it's a loser. And that means we Christians have arrived at a destination that we knew was coming, but we hoped wouldn't happen in our lifetimes. And that is the destination of compromise. What do we do with this conundrum? I think that Donald Trump is right. You stake a genuine I'm not talking about 6 weeks like Florida. I'm not talking about 15 weeks. That, by the way, even though Mike Pence said that Donald Trump's position is a slap in the face to pro-lifers, he was for 15 weeks during his presidential efforts running this last season. Donald Trump is right. You come out and say, no, I'm totally at conception. And it is an abomination that a country that claims to be great, that still has on its coinage under God, would allow any taking of innocent human life. That's a losing issue. So here we are as Christians. But he's the one we're going to get. And I hear the argument. In fact, I can hear people pretty much screaming it right now. Yay, you want Joe Biden in there again? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we are now confronted with pragmatism. A genuine Christian pro-life position is zero exceptions, zero. You say, well, what about rape and incest? I say we need to deal with those issues sensitively, but we don't punish the one that is the consequence for the sin. We punish the sinner. In other words, we go after rapists and pervert pops who do that to their daughters. And quite honestly, I would be in favor of death penalty for those types of crimes. You have forfeited your right to live on this planet. We should be dealing with the guilty person, not punishing the innocent consequence of a horrific act. You say, what about the life of the mother? I say, if we, in the effort of saving the mother's life, lose the life of a child, we call that a tragedy, but we don't call it an abortion. An abortion is an intentional taking of innocent human life. And we know scientifically and biblically that that begins at conception. So there we are with our pro-life position. Zero, zero, zero exceptions. And now we have two candidates running that have varying degrees of a pro-choice position. I would take this back to the rape issue. You could call the liberal guy pro-rape, but if there's a conservative guy who says, well, I just think that there should be some exceptions and, you know, maybe some age ranges where rape could be acceptable. We got to find that compromise. You wouldn't say that that person is anti-rape. You wouldn't say that they are fully pro-woman. You would say that's compromised. And it is. There's no question about it. According to reports, for well over a year, Donald Trump has sought out the consultation of people who have given him two sides of the issue. If you come out pro-life, you're going to lose. If you nuance it, you're going to still get the vote of those conservatives because they're going to have no choice. And you know what? That is true. And that is why we've arrived at this destination that I have not been looking forward to. We are going to have to vote for somebody who is not pro-life. On the ballot this fall, unless something changes, you're going to be voting for one of two pro-choice candidates. That's the reality. That is what we're dealing with. And please just don't send me an email saying that I'm trying to compromise and get people to... Not saying that. This isn't a political commentary. This is a life commentary. This is an anthropology issue. This is about human dignity. This is about ethics. I was reading Andrew Walker. He's the ethics prof at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, stating he was going to teach a course this fall on traditional ethical matters, but he wants to teach a course instead on bioethics because of IVF, which, by the way, the former president said is a good thing. I think that is an oversimplification of the issue. I understand the sensitivity of fertility issues, but the IVF program, it's fraught with problems. There are millions of frozen humans sitting somewhere in a lab freezer hoping to be thawed out. And most times that is simply not going to happen. And Andrew Walker, recognizing this and the gender issues, the sexuality issues, the abortion issue, the transgender issue, he sees this as the issue we Christians need to discuss more robustly, that we need to think about more thoroughly. And that's why with the IVF issue, I haven't heard many conversations about it. I think I read one critique of it in Not the Beast, stating, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, do you know that this is what goes on behind the scenes? Do you know how many babies die in the creation of hopefully, maybe, one life? It's not a clear-cut issue. And as Christians, we need to be willing to talk through it and think through it. Some of these issues are relatively new, and they're demanding that we put our thinking caps on and be willing to talk about them without an accusation that you're selling out conservative values and you're the reason that America is going down the drain. We got to do better than that, don't we? So let's listen in on the former president's take on the life issue.
It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month.
Let me just remind you about our rape scenario.
The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that.
Probably not everyone, but that is true, isn't it? They are wildly worse. But that doesn't mean that a 15-week position should be acceptable to us. I get it. We're down the road. This is the fellow that Republicans have decided are going to represent those who vote conservatively. We got what we got. And it's not going to be a sin to vote for him because it is the lesser of two evils. That is true. But let's not so quickly overlook the reality that it's still an evil. This is Wretched Radio.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, we're just out here every day trying to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we can't do it alone. We are thankful and grateful for you listening to all of the things that we're able to produce. But now we're asking you to prayerfully consider taking the next step and becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support preborn ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support preborn. preborn.org/wretched.
Okay, so imagine that you're inside of a maze, and every corner that you take, there's another wall, there's another obstacle. But then imagine a different scenario. You're still inside that maze, but every corner you take is a guide who has a flashlight and is saying, nope, that's the right way to go. We welcome you to Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. New episodes drop every Saturday morning in your favorite podcast spot or at transformed.org/podcast.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress.
This event helped to establish the precedent of the church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state.
This is Wretched Radio. That is Donald Trump staking his position on the life issue, confidently stating this should no longer be a federal conversation. It is a state's right issue. Will it become the Dred Trump position that led to a civil war when we tried to find this sort of compromise once upon a time in the 19th century regarding slavery? Or will it be exactly the way that it should go down based on the American Constitution? Now, I just checked thoroughly. I do not have a degree in politics, so I ain't going to comment on that. I'm not going to comment on the jockeying of the chess pieces on the election table. I'll leave that up to other folks. But what I do want to dive into is interacting with this position, which is pragmatic to the core. This is all about winning an election, and I feel the weight of this. Donald Trump is right. If somebody, he, for instance, was thoroughly pro-life, I don't think he'd win either. I don't know, but I don't think that he would. So the alternative is, he has to stake a compromise position to hopefully placate some liberal women and encourage them to maybe vote for him, because I guess he's not as big a threat to my promiscuity as I thought that he was. I feel the weight of this. Do you think anybody in their right mind wants 4 years of the same administration? Not a chance. So I'm not being a political prognosticator. That just isn't my territory. But I do believe we still need to think this through so that we don't find ourselves in 4 more years saying, okay, 15 weeks didn't work. 30. We'll give you 30. We'll overlook brainwaves, heartbeat, which are all our arbitrary markers of life, by the way. 35, 30, 36, 30. How's about that you just can't let the baby be born and die on the table? Will you accept? Where are we willing to draw the line? And my encouragement is, we draw the line before Donald Trump's line. And even though we are going to have to vote for the lesser of two evils, we should be the loud voices that are still in the conversation, making the issue what the issue is. What is inside of the mother's womb? And if there isn't a voice out there that is willing to perhaps expose itself to the critique that you're trying to sell out America, that you're trying to help the Democrats to win, we need to nevertheless find the ability to say, look, we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, but that does not mean we agree at all or overlook that position at all. And we should be able to summon up the courage to say, I'm sorry, sir, that position is wrong. Now, what will that get you? It might get you a tweet from the former president himself, just like it did for Lindsey Graham. And I'm not a fan. It got him a tweet because Lindsey Graham was critical of Donald Trump's new position on life, or at least the one that he's currently publicizing. And he got blasted for it. And what was the threat in that tweet? That you're going to let the Democrats win. You keep going for your pro-life position, Lindsey, and you got 4 more years of Joe Biden. Okay. I feel that. But does that mean we have to be quiet about this? Does that mean that we shouldn't still be speaking up for little babies? Does that mean that we need to be silent on the subject of life because it is not pragmatic politically? I get the tension. This is a thoroughly pragmatic position from Donald Trump. It is entirely political, but it's not entirely pro-life. And we've got to figure out a way to still be a loud voice for life, even while saying, yep, that's the side we got to vote for. Nevertheless, in this instance, this is going to get my chops busted. In this instance, I think that some Democratic critics will actually have a point. I don't think they had the same point when they said, oh, you evangelicals are willing to vote for a guy who does, let's just say, his ethics and his lifestyle doesn't exactly align with Christian. You just overlooked that. At that time, I said, no, this is the guy who represents our values the most. Therefore, we have to vote. Would we prefer somebody with different standard? Yes. Would we prefer somebody with a different path? Yes. Would we prefer somebody who perhaps tweets differently? Sure. But that wasn't compromising, in my opinion. But I wonder if we wouldn't be validly tagged as being hypocritical because we simply don't talk about this issue. This was our issue. This was the biggie. I've been doing this long enough to know that. This was 25 years ago. We were doing pro-life events and local radio in Minneapolis, St. Paul, although not in that order. This is what we're about. And I'm not saying that you have to denounce this guy for president, but I am saying we need to denounce this position. Because if we don't, it's just a matter of time before the actual issue disappears and more babies will die. In other words, this is an issue worth finding that position, that very tenuous ground where we hold on to our biblical morality as well as being aware of political realities.
Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people.
That's not the way that this Constitution and Republic is set up. The will of the people is expressed in the voting booth, and then the politicians are to represent us and vote the wisest they can, despite what their constituency says. He's right. This will be a state's issue, and it's going to be more here, less there. I think the question that I think is worth at least putting out on the table is, I get the states' rights issue. I get it. That is the way we were set up, by the way. But would we say that with other issues? Rape. It's a state right issue. There's going to be some states, they're more lenient on rape than others. But it's the will of the people. You'd go, something's wrong with that.
You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith.
How's about science? How's about the reality that what is inside of the woman's womb is alive?
Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote.
That was a conflating of the issue. That was... I'll leave the political commentary aside. Do what your heart tells you. Take the life of a child if that's what your heart tells you? Can I rape if that's what my heart tells me? I'm sorry. You just quickly switch slavery. Just do what your heart tells you. You need to decide whatever it is that your religion says and do it. But you better make sure that you vote. Otherwise, we're going to have really bad people in office.
At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people.
No, we want what is right and what is good and what is godly and, frankly, what is common sense. It is also scientific. It is also logical. That's what we want. Just let everybody decide for themselves. I do believe, not sure, but I think there's a book in the Bible that actually deals with that subject for 12 brutal chapters, what everybody does when they determine what is right in their own mind.
I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother.
Again, that just is not a pro-life position. If I might, redundantly, repetitively, but necessarily, I'm not saying that you should vote for the donkey party. What I am saying is if you and I do not maintain a consistent, total pro-life position, it is just a matter of time before millions more lives are taken via abortion. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.